Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that especially. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes on Sunday, and many of you thank me for that, and I appreciate that. It's always good to know that you like not only the getting the letter, but that you like when we send it. Many people tell us that they like to get it on Sunday because Sunday's typically kind of a slow email day, and it'll get you ready for the week ahead, get your mind thinking about Monday morning. So I hope you'll subscribe to that newsletter. And as I said, it's free, and we're now in our seventh year of the newsletter. Haven't missed a week publishing it in 7 years. So check that out. Also, in addition to the articles that you'll find there, also you'll find the schedule of the people who are going to be on the show in the week ahead. And that helps a lot of folks, too. They like seeing who's going to be on the show. And we also try to tell you as much as we can about what we're going to be talking about. Jonathan Zook is our guest, and he was on the schedule this week. Jonathan's a president.
So everybody knew to go get breakfast because my name was on the schedule. Is that it? All right.
That's exactly it. They know when to leave. He's the president of the association.
Turn the radio off.
Work with me, Jonathan. I'm trying to tell them who you are.
I'm the small IT business advocate.
The very irreverent Jonathan Zook.
I find that exhausting. So my hat's off to you being the advocate of all small business. That seems overwhelming to me.
It's a big job. You know, Jonathan, you've been spending too much time in Europe. You know,
c'est pas vrai.
You've been spending too much time with the rude French, I think. And folks, as I attempted to do a minute ago, he's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies, and you have been in Europe a lot, haven't you, lately?
I have been, yes. The Europeans have been up to no good, and that's probably no surprise to you, Jim. But
folks, many of you who've been listening to the show for a while will remember a number of years ago that I covered the Microsoft case. The USB Microsoft case back during the Clinton years. This has been a long time ago, back in 99, 2000, and 2000, part of 2001, I guess, when the U.S. Department of Justice's antitrust division took on Microsoft for bundling and won, basically. And in a lot of ways, I guess you could say they won. The government did. And we covered that with Jonathan and others who were on the ground. And Microsoft thought they could, you know, they were let out of jail when it was over, because it was actually over, but it really didn't end, did it? They had to do version two in Europe, didn't they, Jonathan?
That's exactly right. They settled the case here and reached a reasonable settlement that would allow them to continue to add new functionality to Windows, which their customers and then my members, who are the small software developers, they'd rely on those new features always being added to Windows. And the Europeans have an interesting system, because it's interesting when you said that they lost, because the way the European system works is that the prosecutor also gets to decide the case. So you don't really have a judicial review in the same way we do here. If the prosecutor thinks you're guilty, then then you're guilty. And
Your antagonist becomes your judge.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
and it's a pretty strange system. I mean, the other kind of stark contrast, if you will, to how antitrust enforcement is done in Europe versus here in the United States, is that in Europe they focus on the well-being of individual competitors, and here we're much more focused on consumer welfare. Mm-hmm. In other words, in antitrust proceedings here in the United States, you have to show that the actions by the accused monopoly were somehow detrimental to average consumers. Whereas in Europe, it's sufficient to say that the actions were harmful to competitors, the assumption being that that might in turn then be bad for consumers. But that's not always the case.
But ironically, Jonathan, as you know very well, the U.S. case actually turned on. It actually was brought by competitors, basically, and was pretty much decided on how it affected competitors, because there really wasn't ever a groundswell or any kind of connection between that Microsoft hurt any consumers with what they did.
Now, and that's exactly right. But that did bear itself out through the Court of Appeals, mm-hmm. and the final judgment by Coder Catelli. That
once it got out of
throughout that decision. Is the notion that consumers weren't specifically harmed by these actions, and that was the justification for pulling a lot of the fangs out of the judgment that had been passed by Judge Jackson somewhat irresponsibly.
Right. Jonathan, I got to take a quick break. I got to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jonathan. The EU is really coming down pretty hard on Microsoft right now, and I'm going to ask him. If he how much of that he thinks is part of the justice system over there, and how much of it is just anti-America. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. And Jonathan, tell us about ACT.
ACT is an IT industry trade association in Washington, D.C., and we represent nearly 4,000 small businesses around the world, most of them here in the United States, probably 3,000 of them. And we basically try to educate and advocate on behalf of small business with governments and to try and, you know, prevent bad policymaking.
And let me tell you why you should care about that, folks, because as you know, Jonathan, as my audience has heard me say before, over half of the innovations created in America are created by small businesses, like your members. And so many... I mean, in our small business, Jonathan, we are customers of a number of little technology companies.
Right.
Many of our vendors, many of the people who contribute to us are small technology companies, and some of them are big, but many of them are small. And so I want the environment to be healthy for those folks so they can continue to innovate, they can continue to create products, offer us good value for the products that we get from them. And all of those things, Jonathan, help me to be more competitive. Because of my small business vendors, I'm more competitive than I could ever have been otherwise.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're entering an era in which, you know, real productivity gains because of technology are really becoming possible. I mean, in many ways, in the last decade, there was a lot of sort of experimental technology where it sometimes felt like you were adapting yourself to it instead of the other way around. And I think we're really starting to get past that tipping point where technology is really getting to a point of increasing our productivity.
Well, and so somebody might say, well, why are we talking about Microsoft? Well, two reasons, folks. Once upon a time, Microsoft was one of these little small companies. And number two, if antitrust folks, whether it be in the United States or in Europe or wherever they may be, if they can take Microsoft out, if they can take on Microsoft, and then they can take on any other little company and any other company. And so that's the reason why we're talking about this. And so now that brings me to my question, Jonathan. How much of the – I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more detail what the EU is trying to do to Microsoft, what they're indignant about in this case. But I also want you to talk to us about how much of this is not about Microsoft as much as it is about anti-Americanism. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's easy with, you know, some of the tensions that exist with Europe now to jump to that conclusion. But the irony is that, you know, the case over there was largely encouraged by American competitors of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of European companies saying, protect us from the American bullies.
Who are those companies?
That's a pretty unique situation that applies to Boeing and Airbus, right? And we kind of both engage in that silliness. But
are they the same companies?
These are companies like Sun, Novell, Real Networks. I mean, these are, you know, big American companies
right. That
were dissatisfied with the results they got here and decided to shop their accusations elsewhere.
Hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes we refer to the government as the second bite of the apple, right? You know, you don't make it in the marketplace, so you go to the government to hurt your competitors, and now Europe is becoming the third bite of the apple.
Right.
But fundamentally, it's all about whether or not you're creating an environment conducive to innovation, the innovation you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Europeans, I have to say, just continue not to get it.
And they realize that
they are continually falling behind in innovation, but then continue to believe that a more regulatory environment will lead to that innovation, and that's the problem we see all over the place.
How much time have you spent in Europe in the last 2 years? Half your time?
Yeah, probably half my time.
He's been on the ground, folks.
Get small businesses in Europe involved in this advocacy as well.
Right. Well, I point that out because I wanted them to know that you're not reporting from Washington. You're reporting from Brussels and from being in the courtrooms. What is the primary issue that is being decided, and when is it going to be decided?
I don't know. This stuff takes so long. But the hearing that took place last week in Luxembourg was the first time that there's actually been a court hearing on the Microsoft case in the European Union, because, as I said initially, the accuser became the judge. So this is the first time, and there was a panel of 13 judges from different countries that listened to a week of pleadings by the Commission and by Microsoft, and then by some of us that are called interveners because we try to bring a different perspective. It's likely that those judges will make a decision probably at the Christmas time frame or something like that. I don't know how to handicap what the outcome was. It certainly seemed as though they were asking the Commission tougher questions than that they were asking Microsoft. But sometimes, you know, you do that to cover yourself because you're going to be supportive of a side, so you're harder on them, you know. So I don't know how to assess. But at the very least, it seemed as though the judges had really done their homework and they were asking intelligent questions.
Right.
And that's a refreshing change.
And the issue, the primary issue, is over the media player?
Media player, and then also some trade secrets of Microsoft related to server technology. IP is a big issue in Europe.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how this could affect your small business, this ruling, all the way over there across the pond. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Jonathan Zook.
All my friends in small town. My parents live in the same small town. Children play in the park.
It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Jonathan Zook is our guest. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. And Jonathan, give us that website, please.
That's www.actonline.org, actonline.org.
All right, so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And
have we talked about the Innovators Network yet on your show?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But I'm not ready to talk about that right now.
All right.
You have to hold that thought for a minute. I want you to tell the audience, before you talk about that, I want you to tell the audience about why we should care as small business owners in any part of the world, especially in America. Why should American small businesses care what happens to Microsoft in Europe?
Well, fundamentally, what has happened to our economy is that we've made a transition from a manufacturing economy to an intellectual property economy.
Right.
And IP, and in particular to small businesses, has become increasingly important. And so has doing business beyond our borders. I mean, I'm sure you have listeners that have neighborhood businesses that, as you say, kind of benefit from these innovations and these technologies.
Yep.
But a lot of small businesses are trying to grow beyond the regional area because they have a product they're trying to sell, whether it's a piece of software or a widget. And in the coming years, how intellectual property is treated around the world is going to be critical to the success of the innovators here in the United States.
If the president,
China or India or now Europe, if they create an environment that's disrespectful of intellectual property, then America's primary contribution will be less viable.
If I were president right now, Jonathan, and the secretary walked in and said, Mr. President, your Secretary of Defense is outside. He wants to talk about China's missiles. And your intellectual property guru is outside. He wants to talk about China stealing our intellectual property. Who do you want to talk to first? Believe it or not, I would take the IP guy first.
Yeah,
that's the greater danger for America's future than the missiles are.
Right. We've shown our ability to handle, you know, missiles, right? I mean, that's almost simple territory, but this is a lot more insidious. You know, people's sort of selective enforcement of intellectual property and the theft of that property can have an incredible impact on our economy going forward. And so we need to be vigilant, and we are. I mean, to some extent, I mean, we're, you know, engaged in bilateral trade agreements with other countries, and, you know, sometimes people are nervous about trade agreements, but we're also using them as an opportunity to get promises from these countries to do a better job of protecting intellectual property.
Well, Americans,
I think it's well worth it.
Americans cease to be all that great at making commodity type items, manufacturing commodity type items, and so we've moved those jobs overseas. Those jobs have migrated, I should say, overseas, as they've been doing for thousands of years.
That's right.
And so the people who are manufacturing those, though, they're using technology, they're using intellectual property, much of which we develop here in this country. So what's wrong with selling them our intellectual property to create stuff cheaper, to send it back to us so we can buy it less expensively, have a higher standard of living by selling and creating our intellectual property? And so your point is, which is a very important one, is that we have to protect our intellectual property the same way we wouldn't let people walk into our garages or our warehouses or whatever, our storefronts, and walk out with our stuff.
That's exactly right. Because intellectual property, you know, isn't physical, but it still has value. And fundamentally, it's about where investment dollars go.
Yep.
And people won't invest in intellectual property if it can be so easily stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the innovations that we've come to enjoy won't see the investment dollars, and we won't see the innovation.
Jonathan, you got 45 seconds. Now you get to talk about the what was the other thing you said?
Yeah, maybe we should just do a whole show about
it. Well, tell us about it. No, you've already teased us. You got to tell us a little bit about it. Now you got 30 seconds.
We've started a website that's kind of a mentoring site for small businesses that is called the Innovators Network, and it's innovators-network.org. So that's just a taste, and then maybe the next time we talk, we'll go into it in a little more detail.
Well, that's what we'll do, exactly. Hey, Jonathan, and the other site is actonline.org.
That's right.
All right, and that's where you go to find out more about how the Association for Competitive Technologies is helping to defend all these technology companies around the world. Hey, Jonathan, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news with Joan Price. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.